Once a month, we hear what it is like to live with mental illness. Our guides are the people of Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford. It's built on the clubhouse model of community mental health care. It is a place where people with persistent mental illness come together to share each other and their shared place. This month on Compass Radio, we hear from Jose, who talks about having post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. He does refer to it as PCSD, but you know what he means. And just a word up front, Jose discusses thoughts of suicide in very frank terms. Here's his interview with Bryce Harding at Southern Oregon Compass House.
My temper gets bad whenever my mental illness, I have PCSD, and I have anger issues. And my doctor's been wants me to go on medication to kind of control that. And I've been trying my best to do it myself, just sometimes my anger gets the best of me. And that's really hard for me to calm down. And sometimes I need to stay away from people. For any reason they'd say anything wrong to me or anything, or being a smart mouse with me, I can react bad. That's why normally when I'm mad, I kind of isolate myself.
You said you're living with PTSD a little. How else would you say that impacts you aside from just feeling angry?
Sometimes it keeps me isolated. It doesn't let me, sometimes it doesn't let me socialize. You know, basically it makes me stay on my own and I stay away from people. I kind of isolate myself. I'm quiet. I don't talk to a lot of people. I don't know you that well. I will not talk to you. Or I walk right by you. I will not say hi or anything. I will just keep to myself.
Well, do you think that living with those symptoms of like having a hard time dealing with conflict or getting mad and feeling like you need to isolate a little bit, how would you say that has impacted you?
It's not fun. I miss out when I do isolate myself, and I do miss out whenever Compass House is doing something good for us or when I get depressed, I just shut down. I don't eat, I don't sleep. I just stay up for days at a time, and it drives me nuts, and sometimes I cry. And that's the only way I can let it out, and sometimes when I do cry, I get angry. And I ask my doctors, I want help, and they want me to go on medications, and I don't want to go on medication. I was forced to drink medication when I was a little kid, and me believing on psych meds, I don't. I know everybody has their issues and everybody believes different ways to handle their ways, or some people believe in their medications and some people don't. And I'm one of the ones that don't believe in medication. And nobody's perfect in the world. Everybody has their issue. I can't judge them and they can't judge me. Nobody's perfect.
So you talked about missing out on things. When you were depressed, are there any specific examples you can think of?
I just didn't want to socialize. I didn't want to go out nowhere. I just wanted to stay in my room and figure out what to do or try to sleep the whole time. Half the time when I do get really depressed, I just want to sleep. I just don't want to be around nobody. And yeah, I just sometimes my attitude just changes. Or I'm not the same person. When I'm depressed and my PTSD is acting up on me, my temper, my attitude, I'm a completely different when I'm not in a happy situation. I can go off on anybody, and I'm trying my best not to do that. And I don't want to hurt nobody for me being mad. And sometimes it's hard for me to tell them to stay away from me, or I have to just walk away from the situation, or I just disappear.
You've had difficulty kind of controlling anger, and then you've been spending time just isolated dealing with depression. Do you feel like that has gotten in the way of like anything that you want to do just day to day?
I want to go out and socialize with people. I want to go out and be somebody different. I want to be somebody I can just go to work and keep my mind occupied. I don't want to be just in my room thinking how's the way to kill myself or just being depressed. I don't like it anymore. sometimes I do want to kill myself and I just want to end the depression. And a lot of people told me they're thinking of killing yourself. That's the coward way out. Some people can control it and some can't. And I'm trying my best. And I am thinking of getting back on medications. And when that's a struggle with me. I want to go back on medication and part of me doesn't want to. And I can't figure out why not. I last year when I wasn't coming to Compass House, my doctor gave me a bunch of medications for my PTSD, something to keep my temper under control, and a lot of different type of they basically had me give you too much medication. It kind of makes you go slower, and that's what my medication was doing to me, and I didn't like the side effects. And it took me more longer for any reason. You asked me a question, I needed to think about what you was asking me. And like right now, I can respond back quickly. Just when I'm on my medication, it takes me a little bit longer to respond back. And that's what I don't like.
Sounds like it's a difficult decision to try to make.
Yeah. And
which you want to live with.
I want to be normal and happy and not be depressed anymore. Just something's gonna eventually happen. I am gonna eventually make up my mind to be on the medications, or I'm just gonna always struggle with it. And right now, I'm in the middle. Take my medication, or be depressed. And I don't want to be depressed.
You've talked about people all kind of having their own things going on, but it sounds like you're dealing with a lot.
Yeah, I have a lot on my plate. I have stress from other issues I have and stuff I found out about yesterday, and all of that's just, there's too much on my plate right now, and that's scaring me, and I don't know how to handle it. I want to handle it like a growing up, and sometimes I don't want to deal with nothing. Normally, I just walk away from the situation and try to avoid it, and I can't do that with depression. That's always there.
That's Jose, a member of Southern Oregon Compass House, talking to Bryce Harding at the house for this month's edition of Compass Radio. Elizabeth Hazelwood is the executive director of Southern Oregon Compass House, back in the studio with me. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Jose is very honest about his feelings and the anger he feels and his decision with medication, how he wrestles with that. Is that a fairly common thing?
Absolutely. The majority of our members talk about the disconnect that they feel when they're on medication. And so it's constantly a choice of what part is better.
Well, and it got me thinking about medications yesterday. We're not talking about something that you take to stop inflammation or you know, get rid of a headache or make your eyes less red. I mean, these meds alter your very consciousness. I mean, how hard is it to find the right medication, right dose?
It's really, really hard, and it's just trial and error. Two people with the exact same diagnosis, same gender, about the same age and weight will respond to the same medication entirely differently. So it's testing one out, and sometimes it takes a couple of months for it to even get fully in effect. So you're living with the side effects. Your body chemistry is changing while you're acclimating to this. And then it may or may not be the best medication, or you might need something else to go along with it. And so sometimes it takes years before people get stable on the right medications.
But they do eventually. I was going to ask if many people do eventually find a sweet spot.
A lot of people do. A lot of people, though, choose to go off medicine because of the process being so overwhelming. And that's something that we hear all the time, is that I just don't feel like my meds are working anymore, or I don't think it's the right one, or my doctor doesn't feel like it's the right one, but I really like what I'm on.
So I know Southern Oregon Compass House doesn't provide therapy per se, but I mean, people who need resources, I mean, what kinds of things can they get a hold of through Compass House?
So we partner with 32 different agencies in the community, and it's really about pairing people up with what they need. There are some people, when you're dealing with medications, it's going to a mental health center and meeting with your clinicians. Other people go through private therapy. Some people try to go the holistic route and go a different way. And it's helping people with what they want to do and choices they're making. These are adults that have a right to oversee their own recovery.
How empowering or daunting can it be for them to make those decisions on their own recovery?
A lot of times the way that mental health system is set up is that people don't really realize that it's their choice. And when they get an opportunity, sometimes it's very, very overwhelming and they don't know what the right thing to do is. So really depending on and making good relationships with their clinicians so they can talk it through. If you think about when you go to a doctor and they say, how are you feeling? We mostly say fine. And if you don't see this person very often, they can't do their job and get a good read and figure out what is and isn't working. So a lot of what we do is talking about taking lists when you go to the doctors, lists what you're experiencing, lists your side effects or your symptoms. That way, in that moment, you can say articulately, this is what I'm dealing with. So that way the clinicians can do their job and help.
Journaling the stuff you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Which makes sense because you go to the doctor, it's easy to say, well, this ankle hurts or this elbow keeps snapping or whatever the deal is. But when you're in a bit of a mental fog, you can't quite get all the stuff you need in front of them.
Right.
So we had a couple of conversations in the same day earlier this week about the intersection of mental health and the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. So there seems to be a lot of attention on that right now. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, is there a benefit in having the conversations for Clubhouse members? The fact that we do seem to be having an easier time at least talking about that there is mental illness and that there are people getting sent to the wrong place to get dealt with. Is that helping at all?
It is. Honestly, the criminal justice system is the largest provider of mental health treatment in the United States, and that's sad. Within Clubhouse, the statistics nationally is that reincarceration rates drop by 77% if people are involved with the Clubhouse, because there is that support. There's that open communication. There's the advocacy. If someone does happen to get arrested, it's talking to liaisons in the jail to make sure that medications are gotten and that there are wonderful things like mental health court now to help with things along those lines and to decrease reincarceration rates.
And what goes on in mental health court?
So it is a wonderful program that takes a look at each individual, and they bring everybody together. They bring addiction centers together. They bring mental health together. They work with the individual to make sure that they get stable, they get employment, that they're getting the treatment that they need. And one of our shared people had been arrested over 100 times in the year. And then going through the mental health court system, they hadn't been arrested at all. And they were completely off probation. And since then, they have not been arrested in the last 8 months and are doing exceptionally well and working and have their own apartment, living independently. And when she graduated, she threw her arms around me in the elevator and said, I never thought I would see today.
Wow. That's a testament. I was going to ask about employers. Mm-hmm. Do you have people who are less edgy over time about hiring somebody who has had an issue with mental illness?
It's one of those things that stigma is very, very real, and overcoming that. I mean, the reality is that people living with mental illness are much more likely to be victims of crimes, but that's not how that's seen. And so it's talking to employers, and one out of every four adults is living with a mental illness. So they're already employing people with mental illness. They just don't know about it because people don't talk about it. And so oftentimes, getting one position in will open the door to have lots of positions, and people realize that it is just like everybody else.
Wow, 1 in 4. We get surprised all the time by the numbers. And always a good talk with Elizabeth Hazelwood, is the executive director at Southern Oregon Compass House, based in Medford. Thanks again for joining us on Compass Radio.
Thank you for having me.